Jackson in trouble, gets out of it. Jackson to his right, avoids the sack, steps, throws, deep shot, end zone! Touchdown! Zay Flowers!
Westwood won on the call. That's the AFC Championship game. Lamar Jackson to Zay Flowers as the Ravens answered Kansas City's TD on their first drive. Remember, went for it on fourth down inside their own territory. Sadly for Baltimore, that would be their only touchdown of the game. A couple of red zone miscues led to their demise. But we're talking about this Ravens offense, and it's year two of Lamar and Zay Flowers with Todd Monken and incorporating others. But Vinny, is the offense going to need to be explosive at least early in the season to get some W's here?
Well, Bob, last year the offense started out on fire, 3-1, and they were scoring points, and that's what they did. I mean, and like I said earlier, you know, the first four games this year, Bob, the defenses that they're playing, points allowed, second, ninth, fifth, and fourth. So points are going to be valuable, I think. And when you look at last year, the first four games, the tight games, Cincinnati 27-24, Indy 22-19. The two blowouts, Houston and Cleveland, Lamar carried it nine times, six times, 38 yards and 27 yards. Now, Cincinnati, 12 rushes. Indy, 14 for 101. So it seems like Lamar's MO, especially early in the year, tight games, I'm going. I got to make the plays. And we'll see if that's the case this year, because the four teams that they're playing, like I just said, they're very good in points allowed, so they don't give up a ton of points, so points are going to be valuable. But those four teams, the worst things they do on defense, stop the run. 18, 21, 16, and 15. So they got to have success running it. So that plays right into the hands of, you know, Todd Munt with King Henry. And then maybe Lamar has to tote the mail a little bit more. But let's say he might be getting 20 carries in those games, because that's how you got to beat these teams. And maybe, you know, with that, then it's play action pass where they can get some chunk plays. But it's going to be interesting to see, just because points are going to be at a premium against those. Like that Thursday night game, that may be, you know, a 21-17, you know, a more of a low scoring type game. And Vegas, same way, Bob. I mean, you know, so what are we going to see? We need to see that run game. Now, is that conducive with who's the blocking tight end and who's the O-line? You know, because do we really have a blocking tight end? Charlie Kohler, 6'7", 280, coming out of college. Norm was a better blocker than he was. So can he be as sufficient? And Harbs has mentioned that in the past, or Todd, you know, as when during their press conferences, is, you know, we need Kohler to be a blocker. So can they do that? Because likely in Mark Andrews are not. So are you going to run the ball with Henry, with all those guys spread out? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, because you know this, Bob. I mean, that, all right, during the telecast on that Thursday night, what are the announcers? They're going to be talking about, oh, they only rushed the ball, you know.
Oh, six times.
You know
the running backs, yeah.
Yeah, you know it's going to be a handoff to Henry probably on the first play. Or, you know, I could see one of two things. Handoff to Henry, or a fake to Henry, and the deep shot to Zay or Bateman or somebody.
By the way, Friday will be 6 months since that game was played.
No way.
It's insane. But get back to Lamar. He has expressed a desire to be more of a throwing quarterback.
Yep.
Going back to after he won the MVP the first time in 19. But it seems as though, to your point, Vinny, that his instinct is to hit the road if things get a little, improvise and adapt, all else fails, see you later. And maybe the weight loss, which has been a topic, which I guess will be brought up in less than a month once they get back to Owings Mills, maybe that is an indicator that, yeah, because he looks back at that championship game and he was very reluctant to run the football. Well, where he was running all over Houston in the second half of the divisional game.
Bob, Cordell told me, it might have been when you were out and Cordell was in, that a lot of people didn't know that Lamar tweaked his hammy in that game early. That's why he wasn't running. So whether it was or whether it wasn't, you know, because normally, and it shows in tight games, tight score games, Lamar carries the ball a lot more. And I anticipate in these four games, if the games are tight in the fourth quarter, what does he feel most comfortable doing? Taking off and running. But if you got Likely and you got Andrews and you got Flowers and you got these guys, you know, maybe now, because Bob, what have they been talking about all of minicamp? He's running the show. He's calling the plays. He can change whatever he wants to change at the line of scrimmage. They run RPO. It's up to Lamar. The run pass option, it's up to Lamar. You know, because the running back is running the run play. And Lamar, he's reading it, and he can give it to him, or he can throw it, you know, or he can run it. So Lamar's going to be calling most of the game. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially if it's a tight game. I can see against Kansas City, Bob, on that Thursday night, that Lamar wants to get going a little bit.
Stand corrected. It's 5 months.
Okay.
Since January to June. Yeah, I must have missed my GED math class that particular day.
About 2.5 weeks of rookies are there.
The passage of time is insane. I don't want to get into it because it's going to depress me to some level. But he must have hurt that hammy after the first quarter, because they went for it 4th and 7, 4th and 8, or wherever it was on their first drive, and he ran for it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know when he did. I can, ask Cordell.
Cordell joins us for NFL Lunch in about 45 minutes. But Lamar Jackson, he's always wanted to be more of a passing quarterback. Maybe this will be the year since he has it. And this is with all due respect to Ingram and Gus and Dobbins and everyone that's come along during his career. If Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry, the workload for Lamar with his legs, other than improvising and adapting, will probably be lessened season. We hope, anyway.
Lamar, if he wants to be the passing guy, it's up to him. He's calling most of the stuff at the line of scrimmage. He's got the ability to change any. With Giro, couldn't do anything. Whatever's called, you got to run it. Now he's got the keys to the car.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, count some money, hopefully buy or sell, and talk about sports news of this Woman Crush Wednesday. Jim Hunter talking Orioles with him. Birds have lost 5 in a row, trying to make that stop tonight. Grayson Rodriguez against Carlos Carrasco. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles. Hopefully outside, mingling with our loyal listeners. Cleveland, by the way, best record in baseball. Let that sink in for a minute. Fitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear, favorite female artist or band, send a request. Plot Support text line, 410-583-1057. Orioles Guardians tonight, 6:35. BBT, Salvo Auto Parts, live for Pickles. Come on, weather. Do us a solid. We want to be outside. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix. Orioles trying to break the 5-game skid. Ravens less than a month away from training camp. Rookies will be here on the 13th of July. NBA draft first round is tonight. Plenty going on, but where's our cash as we're already looking ahead to the weekend by ourselves?
Well, Bob, the Dow's up 39. The S&P's up 2. NASDAQ is up 57. DraftKings down 81 cents. Under Armour's up 12 cents.
All right, let's start in Major League Baseball today. The Yankees and Mets, they started their Subway Series last night at Citi Field. Big win there for the Mets. But no matter how good or bad each team may be in any given year, the tradition of the series, the entertainment value, is still there for the fans. In the spirit of the Subway Series being back, our friend Mike Exisa did an exercise for CBS Sports where he picked the best player between both teams at each position, combined for one super team, if you will. Okay. I was somewhat surprised to see that the Mets were getting the better player nod in 6 of the 9 spots in the lineup. Judge in center field, Soto in right field, and Gleyber Torres at second base were the only instances of a Yankees player being better than a Mets player in Mike's eyes. Now, the pitching, that's a different story. Yankees across the board there, but you know, Lindor over Volpe, Martinez DHing over Stanton. There's some of your closer choices. Bob, buy or sell, or are you buying or selling that talent disparity favoring the Mets head-to-head?
I'll soft buy it. I would take Volpe over Lindor, though. And Lindor, 5 years ago, yes. But since he signed that big deal with the Mets, he hasn't been that guy. And Volpe, now a guy that I despise, not because I hate him personally. I don't know this guy personally. I'm sure he's a fine American and a great family man. But he's going to be a pain in our ass as Oriole fans for many years because he's got a brilliant glove. He's got some pop. He's hitting 270-ish. I would take Volpe there. I don't know if I'm buying it. No. As a matter of fact, I'm selling that. Yeah. Let's, I'm confused all of a sudden.
Well, let's go over to the NFL, where Aaron Donald, he was toying with the idea of retirement, even going back to the Rams Super Bowl season, finally called it a career this offseason, meaning there's nothing left to do but wait for a call from Canton. How do the Rams move on, though? Well, can't replace him one for one. One of their teammates of Aaron Donald, defensive back Quentin Lake, says it's going to have to be a collective effort. And he notes that Donald made it a point throughout his career to not only teach those playing alongside him on the D-line, but those behind him in the depth chart really emphasized making everyone around him the best possible player. LA also went ahead and drafted a pair of D-linemen with their first two picks in this year's draft. Vinny, buy or sell, the Rams have done enough to prepare for life after Donald.
I'll sell it because the thing that he was a disruptor. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, you can't replace him. You can put one, two guys. You can do whatever you want. But offenses, all of a sudden now, they don't have to scheme for the D lineman. They had to scheme. First thing going into it, all right, what do we got to do to stop Aaron Donald? They don't have that anymore.
Yeah, and he was still good. It's not like he had been playing out the string. I mean, they lost an all-pro guy.
Over to the NBA, where the draft will begin tonight and free agency right around the corner. Ahead of that, though, Knicks forward OG Anunoby. He's opted out of his current deal and will put himself on the open market. This was an expected move for him because when he got traded to New York from Toronto, he carried his salary over that he had signed with the Raptors, hovering around the $19 million a year range. His new deal that he does end up signing will exceed that tenfold. So the Knicks, they knew what they were getting into. They knew they were going to be in this position. But his tenure with the team last year, really his entire career, the last 3 years, have been defined by injuries. 76 missed games total over the span of three seasons. Buy or sell, Bob, the Knicks may be having second thoughts before handing him another massive payday.
I'm selling it because all the yapping heads were saying one of the reasons for this trade was to clear up space to sign him.
Yep.
But as you pointed out, a lot of injury problems, and I'll Googleize it because off the top of my head, when he was at Indiana, I think he like blew out his knee, if memory serves. So he's had some significant injury issues, but their record with him on the floor was like 29-5 or something crazy like that, because he's a multi. He's Scotty Barnes, maybe a notch below. He's kind of that guy. But yeah, they're going to sign
him. We'll go back to the NFL. A quarterback-driven league, we know that. They face the most pressure as a result. We're always pointing the finger at the quarterback, talking about their shortcomings and as that relates to the entire team. But what about the rest of the cast around them? NFL writer Cody Benjamin has a list of the 12 non-quarterbacks with the most pressure on them entering the season. Dallas Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy comes in at number two on this list. We know Jerry Jones, he's decided to run it back with McCarthy one more time. That surprised a lot of people, considering every season the last 4 years that he's been in Dallas has ended in similar fashion. Vinny, are you buying or selling that he is the coach facing the hottest seat right now?
Yeah, I'll buy that because he doesn't have a contract. Although, with him calling the plays and stuff, Dak Prescott, offensively, they had one of their best years they've had production-wise. So, yes, I'll definitely buy that.
And one last one here. The NBA draft, of course, begins tonight. No prominent recognizable names expected to go in the top five or really the top 10. So the media, they're going to have their work cut out for them trying to make this entertaining for however many hours this lasts. Much of the conversation, I'm guessing, will naturally end up being about Bronny James, the name recognition factor there, the idea of him possibly landing in L.A. with his dad. If he isn't going to land in L.A., well, the betting markets, they don't really know what to think. It seems like it's Lakers or nothing. If you go to your various gambling outlets, the odds of him landing in L.A.
ESPN bet, of course.
Right. Are very favorable. The next closest team is probably 7-1, 8-1 odds. So it's a very large gap. Vegas doesn't know where he would go if it wasn't Vegas. But buy or sell, Bob, Bronny ends up anywhere but the Lakers.
I'll buy that. I'll take the field. Look, I don't know. Again, I don't know Bronny James, and somebody, one of these draft expert types, was saying defensively he can play at this level. Offensively, he averaged 4 points a game for USC. He goes to L.A., however, the Lakers, that is. Have fun with that circus, J.J. Redick. And you're already going to be worrying about the intense media scrutiny that he's already facing at this time. So he'll get drafted. Does he? Is it nepotism? I mean, we drafted him just because if his name was Bronny Haney, I'm assuming he's undrafted. He's going to have to earn himself a spot on a roster, but he's Bronny James. I mean, hey, I wish him the best. I hope he goes to the league and, you know, makes a bazillion dollars and does whatever he's got to do. But somebody else will take him. Maybe just a bleep with LeBron. How's that sound? Wouldn't that be wild, though, just to do it? Let's take him just so kill this narrative. We're sick of hearing it.
The funniest outcome would be the Lakers draft him and trade him on draft night.
Or J.J. Redick cuts him in training camp. Anyway, OG Anunoby did blow out his knee his sophomore season at Indiana. He was a three-star recruit. He's from London. Three-star. That goes to show you how dopey these rankings are. Three-star recruit. He's about to sign for $1 bazillion. With the Knicks. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Orioles have lost five in a row. This is unacceptable. It needs to end. And Jim Hunter's going to tell us how it ends coming up next here on The Fan. Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Bananarama. Is it a cruel summer or a cool summer? I can't remember. Is it cruel summer?
Cruel.
Cruel summer. I actually remember this song when it came out.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. It's a cruel, cruel thing happening to Bob's memory here. But we're not here to talk about me and my problemos. We're here to talk about the Orioles' problems. They've lost five in a row. Joining us now, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on BBT, 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday, Jim Hunter. Jim, what's happening?
How you doing there, Bob?
Hanging in there, man. Good to talk to you. And we'll start with Cole Irvin, because he's got the old Bobster running hot here his last couple of outings. In the month of May, his ERA was barely above 2. In the month of June, it is well over 5. He got 11 runs against the Yankees, couldn't get through the 5th inning. Orioles gave him some run support last night. He kept serving up souvenirs. Even as air quotes bad as Suarez and Povich were in their respective starts, they went deeper than Irvin did yesterday. So as we watch him in the month of June, Cole Irvin, Jim Hunter, what's the problemo here?
Well, he's missing in the happy zone. And you know, Brandon High talked about it last night at his post game. It's one thing to have command, but it's another thing to miss within the strike zone. And if I'm the Orioles, I don't pitch to Jose Ramirez tonight. I walk him every time. I mean, in game one, he hit a solo home run to break a 2-2 tie. That was the game winner. And then last night, he hits the 3-run home run off Irvin. And the Guardians, excuse me, I almost said their former name, they win 10-8. So that 3-run home run was the difference in the game. But, you know, you look at Irvin in his last three starts, Bob, his ERA is 7.53. He's 0-2 with a no decision. He's allowed 4 runs, 3 earned, 5 earned runs, and then last night, 8 runs, 4 earned. He's also allowed 19 hits and 3 home runs in those 3 starts, and that's covering just 14 and a third innings. So he's not even averaging five innings per start in his last three starts. And, you know, you look at the starters overall, they are having a tough time collectively. You know, in the last six games, they're 0-5 with an ERA of 6.61. That's just amazing. And, you know, you look at where they were, they're still third in MLB with an ERA of 3.38, but they've gone eight consecutive starts without a starter getting a win. A starter hasn't won a game since Corbin Burns in the finale against the Phillies to get two out of three, and that was on June 16th. And here we are, June 26th, so that's 10 days ago. So something's got to be done, and I hope the general manager is working the phones looking for help.
Hey, and we've been talking about that. I think anyone who follows baseball at even a cursory level knows that the Orioles need pitching, and a lot of contending teams do need pitching. The question has always been, what is Mike Elias, and I guess Brandon Hyde too, what are they willing to sacrifice prospect-wise? How much salary are the Orioles willing to take on? And are you willing to sacrifice a highly regarded prospect for a one or a half a year rental as long as it gets you over the hump in October?
Well, I think a half-year rental, you're not going to have to give up that much or as much because the team that you're trading with knows that that player is a free agent at the end of the year. But if you have controllable years either in 25 or 26, then you're probably going to have to give up a little more. And they're just going to have to decide. And, Bob, you and I have talked about this quite a bit on BBT. There's a redundancy in this farm system, and that's a good thing. They have prospect after prospect, and they're not all going to play in Baltimore. I mean, any shortstops in the minor league system, are you going to supplant Gunnar Henderson at shortstop? I mean, the guy's got 25 home runs and 55 RBIs, you know, and he's 22, 23. So he's going to be there for a while. So I think what they have to do is they have to decide, and I'm sure they're doing this. I mean, I'm sure they talk about this every day in the front office. They're going to have to decide which players that might entice a trading team to trade with them and which players are going to be blocked. I mean, as well as Joey Ortiz is doing in Milwaukee, there's no way he was ever going to play in Baltimore. There were too many guys ahead of him. I mean, Connor Norby's already been here. Jackson Holliday's already been here. So there's a redundancy. And again, that's a good thing. Mike Elias has built a tremendous farm system. But if they're going to get somebody that's going to dramatically help this team, they're going to have to give up something. And it's going to depend on who they feel is the player and or players that they know they can sacrifice because they're going to be blocked at the big league level.
Jim Hunter joining us, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Jim, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes, who are you more comfortable coming out of the slump, because they're both swinging well, and Hazy's batting average over 300, got the collar last night. But which of the two veterans, both former All-Stars, do you truly believe is coming out of these prolonged slumps?
Well, it looks to me like Hayes is definitely coming out of it. You look at his last 12 games, he's batting 355. And the one thing I always look for is, how is the ball coming off his bat? And the ball is coming off his bat with authority. I mean, he's 11 for his last 31. And I realize on the year, I mean, the power's not there. He's only hit three home runs. But I like the way he's looked the last 12 games. I mean, you know, 355 in those 12 games, that's showing you something. I would like to, if he would strike out less. But again, when he's making contact, he's making good contact. And, you know, you can't guide the ball. So once the ball's put in play, you hope you hit it hard enough that you have a chance for a base hit.
Hey, Jim, how important is it, you know, for Rubenstein? He's got to be involved in these trade scenarios for Elias, because are they able to take on salary? That's going to be a big key.
Well, I would expect that that obviously will be talked about, Vinny, but You know, this guy came in, he's a businessman. I mean, he's worth $4 billion? I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing in the business world. And the one thing that, you know, you have happening here, I heard on the telecast last night that the season ticket packages are completely sold out for the rest of the year. And that's a good thing. And the reason the fans are excited is because they're winning, or at least they were up until the last five games. So people show up and people watch games and people listen to the radio when you have a winning team. And, you know, that's why the ratings were so bad, you know, in 2020 and 2021, because the team was losing and they were losing mightily. I mean, in 2021, they lost over 100 games. So I would expect that, obviously, he's going to be involved in these discussions because he is the point person of the ownership group. And I also wouldn't be surprised if they call Cal and say, hey, you know, what's your opinion on this versus that? How about trading this guy versus that?
888-1057, the Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Bananarama. Is it a cruel summer or a cool summer? I can't remember. Is it cruel summer?
Cruel.
Cruel, yeah. Summer. I actually remember this song when it came out.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. It's a cruel, cruel thing happening to Bob's memory here. But we're not here to talk about me and my problemos. We're here to talk about the Orioles' problems. They've lost five in a row. Joining us now, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on BBT. 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday, Jim Hunter. Jim, what's happening?
How you doing there, Bob?
Hanging in there, man. Good to talk to you. And we'll start with Cole Irvin, because he's got the old Bobster running hot here his last couple of outings. In the month of May, his ERA was barely above 2. In the month of June, it is well over 5. He got 11 runs against the Yankees, couldn't get through the fifth inning. Orioles gave him some run support last night. He kept serving up souvenirs. Even as, air quotes, bad as Suarez and Povich were in their respective starts, they went deeper than Irvin did yesterday. So as we watch him in the month of June, Cole Irvin, Jim Hunter, what's the problemo here?
Well, he's missing in the happy zone. And you know, Brandon High talked about it last night at his post game. It's one thing to have command, but it's another thing to miss within the strike zone. And if I'm the Orioles, I don't pitch to Jose Ramirez tonight. I walk him every time. I mean, in game one, he hit a solo home run to break a 2-2 tie. That was the game winner. And then last night, he hits the 3-run home run off Irvin and the Guardians. Excuse me, I almost said their former name. They win 10-8, so that 3-run home run was the difference in the game. But, you know, you look at Irvin in his last three starts, Bob, his ERA is 7.53. He's 0-2 with a no decision. He's allowed 4 runs, 3 earned, 5 earned runs, and then last night, 8 runs, 4 earned. He's also allowed 19 hits and 3 home runs in those 3 starts, and that's covering just 14 and a third innings. So he's not even averaging 5 innings per start in his last 3 starts. And, you know, you look at the starters overall, they are having a tough time collectively. You know, in the last 6 games, they're 0-5 with an ERA of 6.61. That's just amazing. And, you know, you look at where they were, they're still third in MLB with an ERA of 3.38, but they've gone 8 consecutive starts without a starter getting a win. A starter hasn't won a game since Corbin Burns in the finale against the Phillies to get 2 out of 3, and that was on June 16th. And here we are, June 26th, so that's 10 days ago. So something's got to be done, and I hope the general manager is working the phones looking for help.
Hey, and we've been talking about that. I think anyone who follows baseball at even a cursory level knows that the Orioles need pitching, and a lot of contending teams do need pitching. The question has always been, what is Mike Elias, and I guess Brandon Hyde too, what are they willing to sacrifice prospect-wise? How much salary are the Orioles willing to take on? And are you willing to sacrifice a highly regarded prospect for a 1 or a half a year rental as long as it gets you over the hump in October?
Well, I think a half-year rental, you're not going to have to give up that much or as much because the team that you're trading with knows that that player is a free agent at the end of the year. But if you have controllable years, either in 25 or 26, then you're probably going to have to give up a little more. And they're just going to have to decide. And, Bob, you and I have talked about this quite a bit on BBT. There's a redundancy in this farm system, and that's a good thing. They have prospect after prospect, and they're not all going to play in Baltimore. I mean, any shortstops in the minor league system, are you going to supplant Gunnar Henderson at shortstop? I mean, the guy's got 25 home runs and 55 RBIs, you know, and he's 22, 23. So he's going to be there for a while. So I think what they have to do is they have to decide, and I'm sure they're doing this. I mean, you know, I'm sure they talk about this every day in the front office. They're going to have to decide which players that might entice a trading team to trade with them and which players are going to be blocked. I mean, as well as Joey Ortiz is doing in Milwaukee, there's no way he was ever going to play in Baltimore. There were too many guys ahead of him. I mean, Connor Norby's already been here. Jackson Holliday's already been here. So there's a redundancy. And again, that's a good thing. Mike Elias has built a tremendous farm system. But if they're going to get somebody that's going to dramatically help this team, they're going to have to give up something. And it's going to depend on who they feel is the player and or players that they know they can sacrifice because they're going to be blocked at the big league level.
Jim Hunter joining us, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Jim, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes, who are you more comfortable coming out of the slump? Because they're both swinging well, and Hazy's batting average over 300, got the collar last night. But which of the two veterans, both former All-Stars, do you truly believe is coming out of these prolonged slumps?
Well, it looks to me like Hayes is definitely coming out of it. You look at his last 12 games, he's batting .355. And the one thing I always look for is how is the ball coming off his bat? And the ball is coming off his bat with authority. I mean, he's 11 for his last 31. And I realize on the year, I mean, the power's not there. He's only hit 3 home runs. But I like the way he's looked the last 12 games. I mean, you know, .355 in those 12 games, that's showing you something. I would like that if he would strike out less. But again, when he's making contact, he's making good contact. And, you know, you can't guide the ball. So once the ball's put in play, you hope you hit it hard enough that you have a chance for a base hit.
Hey, Jim, how important is it, you know, for Rubenstein? He's got to be involved in these trade scenarios for Elias because are they able to take on salary? That's going to be a big key.
Well, I would expect that that obviously will be talked about, Vinny, but You know, this guy came in, he's a businessman. I mean, he's worth $4 billion? I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing in the business world. And the one thing that, you know, you have happening here, I heard on the telecast last night that the season ticket packages are completely sold out for the rest of the year. And that's a good thing. And the reason the fans are excited is because they're winning, or at least they were up until the last 5 games. So people show up and people watch games and people listen to the radio when you have a winning team. And, you know, that's why the ratings were so bad, you know, in 2020 and 2021, because the team was losing and they were losing mightily. I mean, in 2021, they lost over 100 games. So I would expect that obviously he's going to be involved in these discussions because he is the point person of the ownership group. And I also wouldn't be surprised if they call Cal and say, hey, you know, what's your opinion on this versus that? How about trading this guy versus that guy? I mean, I know a lot of teams are going to be asking for Basayo, who's only 19 and is really having a good year at AA Bowie. But I would think that Rubenstein would be more than willing to take on some salary if it means not only getting to the postseason but making a long postseason run.
Jim, your impressions of Cano lately?
Yeah, he's scuffling. I mean, you know, he was so reliable. But in his last 4 games, he's allowed 5 runs, and 4 of those are earned, and that's in only 3 innings. You know, and last night he came in, he allowed, 2 runs, and the Orioles lost 10-8. So I don't know what his story is. I mean, prior to these last 4 games, he was pitching lights out. So I'm sure it's, you know, again, I talk about this a lot, and maybe too much, but when you miss in the happy zone, big league hitters are going to make you pay. And the Indians are a very good club. They're a very good hitting team. And even their support players are having a good series. And again, if I'm Brandon Hyde, I tell Grayson Rodriguez, you pitch around Jose Ramirez tonight. Don't let this guy beat us.
Jim Hunter, colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, longtime voice of the Orioles. I thought you said he was going to call Cal to borrow some money to help pay some salaries here.
Hey, any option is on the table.
As we get to the trade deadline, how many All-Stars for the Birds?
Well, I'm voting every day, and I think maybe they have a chance to get five. I don't know how many reserves they'll take, but, I mean, you got Mountcastle and Gunner and Adley all leading at their positions, which is a great thing. So maybe two more have a shot to go. We'll just have to wait and see. But it's certainly exciting around here to see nationally fans are voting for Orioles players, which didn't used to happen. If the Oriole player Oriole fans didn't vote for their players, they didn't get elected. But there's no way Mountcastle came out of nowhere to pass Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If he wasn't getting support nationally. And obviously Gunner is a great player, and the fans around the country are beginning to notice that.
I literally have my ballot up on my screen right now, and I'm going to start voting for the 20th time. I've already voted 15 times and go for 20 during a break. Jim Hunter, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, and I'll see you on the next homestand at Pickles, four straight days.
Yeah, got the Cubbies and the Yankees. That's going to be fun. Can't wait. Jim Hunter, have a great one.
You too, guys.
There's Jim Hunter, everybody. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fed. Comeback reset for you. Cordell Woodland's going to have some NFL lunch at 1 o'clock, and then an updated look at the AL East standings and beyond, and look at last night's action. Hey, American League East kind of representing last night, except for the Yankees, which is good for the Orioles. Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, get that vote in. Well, not a vote, just your song pick. Nolan McGraw will start voting tomorrow for Featured Artist Friday during Total Request Thursday. You get it, 410-583-1057. NFL lunch coming up, matter of minutes. Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. American League East Report at 1:15. Talk more about the Orioles, the loss last night to Cleveland. Look ahead to tonight's series finale before the Texas Rangers come to town. Ravens training camp 2024, July 13th. Now, I'm on vacation the week of the All-Star break, which is that week.
Right.
And then I'll come back on the 21st, which will be the first day of training camp.
Yep.
So we'll be right into it.
Yes.
And then be heading into the trade deadline. And then within a couple of weeks, we'll have preseason football.
Oof.
The Hall of Fame game is August 1st.
And then the Ravens.
Ravens open
September
their 5th. Regular season against Kansas City, September
Jesus
the 5th.
Criminy.
Hopefully the Orioles are going to be hot heavy. Little contention for the division championship. Could this be the first time since 1970? Because remember, the Colts were gone for a long time. Then the Ravens came back in 96, and then they were bad while the Orioles were good for a period. Then in 2012, Ravens won the Super Bowl. Orioles made the playoffs. Could this be a Super Bowl World Series duo?
Possibly.
I mean, Orioles, though, they're one of the favorites to do it. Yeah. Ravens are going to be one of the favorites. It's no longer a stupid question. What's going to happen first? Orioles win the World Series or the Ravens win the Super Bowl? It could happen this year. For both, technically, the Orioles would be first because the World Series is in October and November, and then Ravens wouldn't accomplish their championship glory until February of next
year.
Bob,
if that happened, our ratings will be off the charts.
Well, as long as they're competitive through these months, ratings will be off the charts because the Orioles getting more interest. We just talked about it with Jim Hunter. I believe they're second in baseball in attendance spike here in 2024, and we see it down at Pickles Pub, right, Nolan? More asses and elbows this year than ever before.
Right, even a Tuesday night. I mean, it is summertime now, so
summertime.
Kids out of school, that sort of thing. But, hey, a weeknight used to be a barren wasteland there. Now it looks like a weekend.
Yeah, be tumbleweeds and beer cans rolling all over the place. We did see, was it last night, where there was a woman down, a little intoxication, or was that Monday night?
I must have missed that.
Yeah, I think it was Monday. She was down for the count.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Disorderly?
No. Just, I guess.
At 6 o'clock at night?
It's more like 6:30. Hey, day drinking can lead to early sleeping. I mean, come on, look at football.
Yeah.
They're tailgating 8 o'clock by kickoff. They don't even know what planet they're on, much less who's winning the game. But, you know, that heat and alcohol can get to you. You know, I speak from experience. But hopefully tonight we'll be outside and the weather will hold off. We'll get a little baseball in here because this is the only time Cleveland will be in town. They go to Kansas City in an interesting series because the Royals are clanking around as a wild card team. And then the Orioles will be hosting the Texas Rangers. First time Texas will be in town since they kind of pulled the Orioles' pants down in the ALDS. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Reisterstown. It's Kai. Kai, what's happening?
What's up, guys? What's up, fellas?
What's
Can
up,
you hear me clearly?
You gotcha.
All right, first, Haney, both you got. Well, the Orioles, because I want to make a bet. Will they get to 100 wins like that bet you made with somebody last year? Will they get to 100 wins this year? Because somebody told me on my Facebook that they won't get 100 wins.
Well, the bet was with Ray that they wouldn't win 90 last year, and they won 101. If I'm a betting man, I'm going to say no.
Okay, well, that's out. I'm going to take you. I'm going to go with you on
that. Yeah, just take the under. Try to coax them. I hope they win 105, which was the pace they were on for a while there, and they're still kind of on the same pace as last year, but the injuries to the pitching staff are becoming somewhat of a problemo here, at least for now.
For now, yeah. Well, anyway, look, real quick, I think Gervonta Davis' best fight, that was his best fight I've seen for Tank. And granted, Frank Martin was a solid opponent.
Sure.
And the way he grasped that win, Bob, he was patient. And he walked him down, so I think that was a great win for Tank.
Yeah, but what's now, next? Lomo or Stevenson?
It's going to be Lomo in November, like around my birthday. It ain't
right,
come
cool.
out yet, but it's going to just keep an eye on that. It's going to be Lomo around about Thanksgiving time, day after Thanksgiving.
And then get Stevenson like early next year because that's got to happen too.
Right. Now, Vinny.
Yes.
Did you do the homework I gave you a couple weeks ago, number 39? Jordan Toles, man. I hope he makes the squad. At least prank. If he's to play corner, Vinny. I don't know if you recognize him out there because I heard you talking about Wiggins the other day. I like that. I like the report on Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, I just feel like they got to change the whole. And I looked at the because I got to listen to the Odyssey app out here sometime. I can't catch you guys live. And I was going to ask that same question with Henry. You need more eye formation and more downhill type of format sets. So, my opinion, how much do Todd Monken change the offense for Lamar, have him under center? And did you see him out there in practice under the center a lot? Because, you know, Lamar, you typically he don't get under the center, man. He's in that shotgun form or that pistol form. So, you know, how's that coming along? And also, how's the new linebacker, man? I'm staying on him. I want to see how he is. So
Simpson's doing great. Simpson was one of the standouts at the mini camp. And we'll see when the pads come on because that'll be the real test. And then the corner you asked about, I didn't notice.
Kid from Baltimore, LSU, Morgan State.
Did not notice number 39 at all. You know, Tampa, Wiggins, Armour Davis. You know,
what about Pepe?
Pepe.
How can we not have a Pepe on the field?
Pepe,
this year?
I did notice. I did see his name on the jersey one time. And then under center. Yeah, I think they're doing some more under center stuff. But Kai, Derrick Henry, he can do this. He can do the stuff from the shotgun and stuff. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
When we come back, Cordell Woodland's going to have some NFL lunch with us. American League East report coming up around 1:15. And if you want to get in, you're worried about the Orioles, tell us why. How do you remedy these problems? The offense, when they score 11, pitchers give up 14. When they score 8, pitchers give up 10. When they score 1, the pitchers keep them competitive. So right now, things are clicking on all cylinders. That's why you've lost 5 in a row for the first time in over 2 years. Good for the Orioles. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, get that vote in. Well, not a vote, just your song pick. Nolan McGraw will start voting tomorrow for Featured Artist Friday during Total Request Thursday. You get it, 410-583-1057. NFL lunch coming up, matter of minutes. Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. American League East Report at 1:15. Talk more about the Orioles, the loss last night to Cleveland. Look ahead to tonight's series finale before the Texas Rangers come to town. Ravens training camp 2024, July 13th. Now, I'm on vacation the week of the All-Star break, which is that week.
Right.
And then I'll come back on the 21st, which will be the first day of training camp.
Yep.
So we'll be right into it.
Yes.
And then be heading into the trade deadline. And then within a couple of weeks, we'll have preseason football. Oof. The Hall of Fame game is August 1st.
And then the Ravens.
Ravens open
September 5th.
Regular season against Kansas City, September the 5th.
Criminy.
Hopefully the Orioles are going to be hot heavy. Little contention for the division championship. Could this be the first time since 1970? Because remember, the Colts were gone for a long time. Then the Ravens came back in 96, and then they were bad while the Orioles were good for a period. Then in 2012, Ravens won the Super Bowl, Orioles made the playoffs. Could this be a Super Bowl World Series duo?
Possibly.
I mean, Orioles, though, they're one of the favorites to do it. Yeah. Ravens are going to be one of the favorites. It's no longer a stupid question. What's going to happen first? Orioles win the World Series or the Ravens win the Super Bowl? It could happen this year. For both, technically, the Orioles would be first because the World Series is in October and November, and then Ravens wouldn't accomplish their championship glory until February of next
year. Bob, if that happened, our ratings will be off the charts.
Well, as long as they're competitive through these months, ratings will be off the charts because the Orioles getting more interest. We just talked about it with Jim Hunter. I believe they're second in baseball in attendance spike here in 2024, and we see it down at Pickles Pub, right, Nolan? More asses and elbows this year than ever before.
Right, even a Tuesday night. I mean, it is summertime now, so
summertime.
Kids out of school, that sort of thing. But, hey, a weeknight used to be a barren wasteland there. Now it looks like a weekend.
Yeah, be tumbleweeds and beer cans rolling all over the place. We did see, was it last night, where there was a woman down, a little intoxication, or was that Monday night?
I must have missed that.
Yeah, I think it was Monday. She was down for the count.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Disorderly?
No. Just, I guess.
At 6 o'clock at night?
It's more like 6:30. Hey, day drinking can lead to early sleeping. I mean, come on, look at football.
Yeah.
They're tailgating 8 o'clock by kickoff. They don't even know what planet they're on, much less who's winning the game. But, you know, that heat and alcohol can get to you. You know, I speak from experience. But hopefully tonight we'll be outside and the weather will hold off. We'll get a little baseball in here because this is the only time Cleveland will be in town. They go to Kansas City in an interesting series because the Royals are clanking around as a wild card team. And then the Orioles will be hosting the Texas Rangers. First time Texas will be in town since they kind of pulled the Orioles pants down in the ALDS. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Reisterstown. It's Kai. Kai, what's happening?
What's up, guys? What's up, fellas?
What's
Can
up,
you hear me clearly?
You gotcha.
All right, first, Haney, both you got. Well, the Orioles, because I want to make a bet. Will they get to 100 wins like that bet you made with somebody last year? Will they get to 100 wins this year? Because somebody told me on my Facebook that they won't get 100 wins.
Well, the bet was with Ray that they wouldn't win 90 last year, and they won 101. If I'm a betting man, I'm going to say no.
Okay, well, that's out. I'm going to take you. I'm going to go with you on
that. Yeah, just take the under. Try to coax them. I hope they win 105, which was the pace they were on for a while there, and they're still kind of on the same pace as last year, but the injuries to the pitching staff are becoming somewhat of a problemo here, at least for now.
For now, yeah. Well, anyway, look, real quick, I think Gervonta Davis' best fight, that was his best fight I've seen for Tank. And granted, Frank Martin was a solid opponent.
Sure.
And he just, the way he grasped that win, Bob, he just, you know, he was patient. And he walked him down, so I think that was a great win for Tank.
Yeah, but what's next? Lomo or Stevenson?
It's going to be Lomo in November, like around my birthday. It ain't
right,
come
cool.
out yet, but it's going to just keep an eye on that. It's going to be Lomo around about Thanksgiving time, day after Thanksgiving.
And then get Stevenson like early next year because that's got to happen too.
Right. Now, Vinny.
Yes.
Did you do the homework I gave you a couple weeks ago? Number 39, Jordan Toles, man. I hope he make the squad. At least prank. If he's to play corner, Vinny. I don't know if you recognize him out there because I heard you talking about Wiggins the other day. I like that. I like the report on Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, I just feel like they got to change the whole. And I looked at the because I got to listen to the Odyssey app out here sometimes. I can't catch you guys live. And I was going to ask that same question with Henry. You need more eye formation and more downhill type of format sets. So, my opinion, how much do Todd Monken change the offense for Lamar, have him under center? And did you see him out there in practice under the center a lot? Because, you know, Lamar, you typically he don't get under the center, man. He's in that shotgun form or that pistol form. So, you know, how's that going coming along? And also, how's the new linebacker, man? I'm staying on him. I want to see how he is. So
Simpson's doing great. Simpson was one of the standouts at the mini camp. And we'll see when the pads come on because that'll be the real test. And then the corner you asked about, I didn't notice.
Kid from Baltimore, LSU, Morgan State.
Did not notice number 39 at all. You know, Tampa, Wiggins, Armour Davis. You know,
what about Pepe?
Pepe.
How can we not have a Pepe on the field?
Pepe,
this year?
I did notice. I did see his name on the jersey one time. And then under center. Yeah, I think they're doing some more under center stuff. But Derrick Henry, he can do this. He can do the stuff from the shotgun and stuff. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
When we come back, Cordell Woodland's going to have some NFL lunch with us. American League East report coming up around 1:15. And if you want to get in, you're worried about the Orioles, tell us why. How do you remedy these problems? The offense, when they score 11, pitchers give up 14. When they score 8, pitchers give up 10. When they score 1, the pitchers keep them competitive. So right now, things are clicking on all cylinders. That's why you've lost 5 in a row for the first time in over 2 years.